Well, as David Holliday mentioned, we are in the Christmas season. It's the season where you hear a lot of pretty music, Joy to the World, many other songs. Some of them are good songs, but they tend to be joyful and happy and positive. But you know, there's not a lot of joy in the world, is there? But it is a time when people are trying to be more joyful, express more happiness, trying to deal with some of the pain in their lives, especially this time of the year for those who have lost loved ones, September the 11th attacks on the United States by terrorists. So joy is something that people are seeking and striving for. Brethren, how much true joy do you have in your life? What about us as God's people and as Christians? How joyful are we? Have we learned how to be joyful Christians? I would like to cover today the biblical keys on this subject. What is true joy? What is the difference between joy and happiness? Are they the same? Because God gives us the answers to these questions. And when you understand the subject of joy, it can help you to be at peace with yourself, making sure that we understand the biblical teaching on the subject of what true joy really is and where it comes from and how we have it or don't have it in our lives. Is it absent in your life? If you have an absence of joy, then maybe this message will help you to understand how to have more joy. Turn with me to Galatians 5:22. This is the scripture that mentions the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, the fruit of the Spirit. And what that means is that the result of, or the fruits of, having God's Holy Spirit. So anyone who has the Holy Spirit of God, the gift of God, would bear these fruits in their lives. It would be the manifestations of somebody with God's Spirit. The first one, as you all know, is love. The word there in the Greek is agape. We all are familiar, I think, with that word. That word for love means godly love, the love of God, agape love. It's a divine love. And so we speak a lot about that, and that is most important. But today I would like to focus on the second one. It says love, and then it says joy. How do we, in the world today, with all of its problems and stresses, and negative situations, how do we, as Christians, always have joy in our lives, or should we always be joyful? Let's see what God's Word reveals, because God does always give us the answers, doesn't He, to these things. So let's take a look at what the Bible teaches. Turn with me to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. God does reveal to us what true happiness. Now, sometimes the Hebrew word, which is the equivalent of the Greek word. Now, the Greek word for joy, back there in Galatians 5:22, is chara, C-H-A-R-A. You know, we're familiar with agape, A-G-A-P-A. Agape is a more familiar term than joy is. But the Greek word is chara, C-H-A-R-A. And it means gladness of heart, or joy, gladness of heart. And in the Hebrew, a different word, and sometimes it is translated as it is here, happy. Happiness today, everybody wants to be happy. As we're going to see, happiness, as Leanne and I were talking about earlier, if you're talking about always wanting to be happy, happiness depends upon the circumstances of your life. How much money you make, maybe, whether you've had a good meal today, whether you're feeling well rather than sick. Your happiness depends upon the circumstances in your life. As we will discover, true joy does not. But here it means more the joy that comes from God. Verse 15 of Psalm 144 says, "Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." The NIV says, "Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." The Hebrew word means both. In the Amplified Bible, which takes the original languages of the Bible and amplifies them and gives additional English words, the Amplified Bible actually does say, "Blessed and happy are the people whose God is the Lord." So when we know the true God of the Bible, that is a source of true happiness, isn't it? Let's move on, because there are many things to bring out here about this. Proverbs 29:18. But the Bible definitely reveals that true happiness, a happiness that doesn't just depend upon your physical circumstances, is knowing the true God. Notice Proverbs 29, verse 18. 29, verse 18. You might be familiar with this one where it says in King James, "Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint or perish." Where there's no revelation, it says in the New King James. But the last part of that verse says, "But happy is he who keeps the law." Now, as an old engineer, and I've told you this before, I discovered a long time ago, and you probably have by now, that the more we are in harmony with God's laws, the law of gravity keeps us sitting, standing, and we don't worry. I doubt if anybody in here today is worried about floating off their chair and bumping their head on the ceiling. You just aren't sitting there worrying about that, are you? Because of the law of gravity, and you know it works. You're secure and safe. Now, if you began to feel yourself getting lighter and lighter and you began to float off your chair, I'd get a little bit scared, wouldn't you? I'd start saying, "Uh-oh, what's happening here?" Well, what we discover in life is that the more we keep God's laws, so we tend to think here of the Ten Commandments, and they're the basic ten, but the more we learn to be in harmony with God and His law, the happier and more blessed we will be as we experience His blessings in our lives through our obedience to Him. Let's look at another one in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, very important scripture on this subject about joy. True joy, not temporary joy, not just getting a new car or something that can give you temporary joy or happiness or a new job or whatever it may be. But this kind of joy that we're talking about in the Bible today, that second fruit of the Holy Spirit, chara, the Greek word, it's a different type of a joy, a gift from God. Notice 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Now the NIV says, "our joy," and our joy may be complete, but it's talking about joy. And so what the scriptures reveal to us, brethren, is that inner joy, the Greek word chara, true joy, that fruit of the Holy Spirit, comes from having a relationship, a personal relationship with God, doesn't it? If we don't take time to study the scriptures, if we don't take time to pray and join in, say, and have a fasting life, a life where we utilize that principle given in the scriptures, it's one of the laws or principles of God of humbling ourselves, chastening our souls, the scriptures call it. All of the servants of God used fasting as a means of humbling themselves and drawing closer to God. You know, if we don't take the time in our personal lives to read and study the Scriptures. I'm saying what is obvious and what you know, but I need a reminder, I hope you do too, in this world and the pressures and stresses of the world. It is very easy for all of us or any of us to begin to just drift away and neglect that aspect of our lives. So true joy comes when we as God's people make that breakthrough in our lives and we come to know God for ourselves. It isn't that I hear the minister talking about God or I hear the brethren around me talking about God. It's when each of you, when we individually and personally make that breakthrough in our lives and we have sought God with our whole heart and we have humbled our soul and God has revealed himself so that you experience and literally feel the joy of that contact with God. And it isn't, I would say it's in different degrees. It isn't that once you're called and converted and have God's Spirit, that it's just this nothing but joyful feelings that you have. And in my own life, I know there's an inner peace that comes as these Scriptures reveal. Well, let's go on and let the Scriptures speak for themselves. Turn to John chapter 13. Gospel of John chapter 13. But the main thing I wanted to point out there, that the Bible does tell us that this joy that we're speaking of here comes from a personal relationship from God. It comes as we begin to walk more in harmony with God, that is through obedience to the laws and the ways of God, the concepts, the precepts, that we begin to have the attitudes of God that he wants us to have. Notice John 13, verses 15 through 17, where Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And we do that once a year, the beginning of the Passover season. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." And then verse 17 says, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." So what is the key? What is another one of the keys again? Your degree of experiencing joy in your personal life will be determined by your relationship with God, how well you know him, how close you are to him, how much you really believe in him and his word, and how much in harmony you are with God's laws and ways. And that's a process, isn't it, of time. So that's the first concept that I want to just emphasize here, that true joy comes by coming to know the true God and beginning to obey that true God and becoming more in harmony with him. That's one of the concepts revealed in Scripture. And it's a lifetime process. We have to look upon that as continuing to grow, which means that we can continue to have more joy in our lives if we seek God. Here's another concept about having more joy in your life. This joy that we're talking about comes by knowing how much God loves us as his people. That's one of the things that really did it for me in my background. What was it for you? What was your concept of God when God called you to the knowledge of the truth? Let's say before you really began to study the Bible or before you really began to search it and prove things to yourself, think back. I don't want to use myself overly much, but since I grew up a Southern Baptist, and my concept was of, this is not a reflection on what all may believe in that particular church or denomination or casting stones at them, but my upbringing was just believing in an ever-burning hell, that you either went to heaven or hell when you died. And I just remember an awful lot of sermons as a boy that scared me to death of just burning up forever in hellfire. And so my concept, when I really began to study the Bible for myself, about would God torture human beings for all eternity in a fire, just burn them up, and yet they don't burn up. They just suffer that intense pain. And so our concepts of God vary, don't they? And we have to come to know how much God really loves us. And joy, true inner joy, comes as you grow in your understanding of the depth of God's love for you. To this day, I remember when God began to open my mind to understand what He says, that if I have been called, if I understand the truth, if I am a part of the people of God, then that means that God the Father Himself decided to call me. We know that, right? Remember where Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him." God has to call people. What an eye-opener that one was when I began to understand the fact that God the Father, the great God Almighty, the Father of Jesus Christ, is the one who made the decision to even open my mind so I could understand the Bible and begin to believe it. It takes God to do that in our lives. God's love is awesome, isn't it, brethren? There's nothing like the love of God. You've never experienced it in this life. And even though some of you may have had wonderful parents who loved you, many have not had that. And coming to know God as the loving Father and the loving being that He truly is can take a long time for people. Come to believe that God really does love them deeply. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And this is an important aspect of having joy, the true joy. There is no way that you can be a joyful Christian. Several things here. You cannot be joyful if you think God doesn't love you. You cannot be a happy, joyful Christian if you think that you can't please God, that you're always falling short, that you think badly of yourself. There's no way that a child, a little child, can be happy or truly joyful if that child thinks their parents are against them or don't like them. Can you imagine the struggle of a little child if its mother and father said, "You knucklehead, you stupid," whatever name they would call them, and that has happened to people. It destroys joy in that little child. But here in 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. "And this, the love of God, was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation," or the atonement, or the forgiveness, that means, "for our sins." So it's an amazing thing how much God loved us. And one of my favorite scriptures on this is Romans 8. I mean, I'm not going to turn there because of time fleeting here, but in Romans 8, verses 31 to 39, where it says, "There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God." You all know that scripture, don't you? Paul said, "There's nothing in heaven, there's nothing on earth, there's no trial, there's nothing that is going to separate us from the love of God." So I hope you've experienced what I did in my life. When I came to prove that truth, that God loves me as one of His children with an unconditional love, agape love, and that his love for me is faithful and will never change. And his love for me is not conditional like it might be for some human beings and some parents that use conditional love to control or manipulate their children. That if their children did what they wanted them to do, they gave them love. And if they were not good, then they would withhold love. And even worse than withhold love, maybe treat them cruelly. That is not the love of God. God never treats us that way, never ever will. You have to know and you have to believe the truth that God loves you as his child with his whole heart and mind and being, or he wouldn't have called you in the first place to know and understand the truth. So joy comes, a lot of joy comes from just saying, God, thank you for loving me, for who I am and what I am, when I'm strong and when I'm weak and when I'm good and when I'm bad, when I fall short. Thank you for always loving me. That is so important. Let's move on. This kind of joy comes by learning to love God. Learning to love God back. It's wonderful to know that God loves you. Notice something that John said right here in 1 John 4, same chapter we were just at. Notice verse 19. This verse has always impressed me. One simple, short verse, 1 John 4:19. It said, we love him because he first loved us. In other words, God loved me and he loved you before we ever knew him. God loved him when you were in your mother's womb. God loved you when you were a little child. God loved you when you were ignorant and didn't understand him. God loved you when you were a sinner, deceived by Satan. So I thought about that. Well, God, you loved me a long time before I learned to love you. And as we begin to learn to love God and express that love to God and show that love to God and tell God, I love you. God, I love you. You know, do you say that to God in your prayers every day? God, thank you for loving me. I love you, God. Thank you. I love you, Father. And I love you, Jesus Christ. Notice what Psalm says about this. You know, David was, as you know, one of those very expressive servants of God, deep feelings and emotions, and he could put it so well. So here in Psalm 5, Psalm chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, Psalm chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, he says this, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. So do you love God? I think most of you do. And you say, well, look, I wouldn't be here in church on a Saturday in this hall if I didn't love God. I want to love God. But learning to love God, you know, in love there is great joy, isn't there? And when you deeply believe and experience the love of God for you, and then you begin to let that love that God has given to you and revealed to you, when you begin to let that flow back to God, in obedience, of course, that's how we love God too. This is by keeping his commandments we show our love to God, by being obedient. But also there are many other ways to express our love for God. In prayer and meditation, privately, just sharing our feelings and our emotions from our heart with God. Let's do that more, brethren. It just makes you feel happy and joyful when you do it. Notice Proverbs 16, verse 20. on this particular aspect of joy. Proverbs 16, verse 20. And what we're talking about here then, remember the concept is that this joy, the fruit of the Spirit, is also then a product of loving God back, showing and expressing that love in our lives. And it's okay to do it before each other, you know, to be a light and an example in our love for God. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. And part of this, I'd put down, you know, that we grow in this joy by learning to love God and by learning to trust Him. Because if I think the ones that you can trust the most in life are those that you know love you and you love them. You know, that builds trust, doesn't it? You don't trust people that you don't think love you and that you haven't learned to love. There's just no way that there can be trust in a relationship where there is not love. It just doesn't work. But as you love God, you learn to trust Him. And that produces that joy in our lives. So how much then do you love God, and how do you express that love to God every day of your life? Pour out your heart to Him. There are times in prayer when all I want to do, because I guess, you know, our prayers should vary, not be always the same thing. There are times when I just want to do nothing in my prayers but get down on my knees and focus on the positive and thank God. Just spend, God, I'm just going to spend today. I'm just here today to worship You and praise You and thank You. I'm not going to bring any problems up today. You know, just thank You, God, for Your love and for loving me and in helping me today. Thank You. So I think many of you have done that as well, that you do not have to every single day bring problems before God. Just sometimes just love Him and express that love and appreciation. Another source of joy the Scriptures reveal is understanding the purpose of our personal trials and problems. Until you come to understand the purpose of your personal trials and your problems that God has allowed in your life, until you do, you're just going to carry this heavy bag around on your back and on your shoulders, this burden of your trials. And let's see what the Bible tells us in regard to joy in our trials. Turn with me first to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It's amazing how God connects these two. Here's what He tells us. Familiar scriptures to some of you. James 1, we'll begin reading in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Now the NIV translation, New International Version, says count it pure joy. Count it pure joy when you fall into various trials. And sometimes it's hard to understand the Bible, isn't it? It's almost contradictory. Well, God, I am so happy that I'm unhappy. You know? All these problems and trials in my life that are testing me and making me unhappy, I am just so joyful because of them. Well, let's just keep reading. It gives the part of the answer in verse 3. We should know, knowing, you know, the reason we can rejoice in whatever our trials are, we can rejoice knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience or endurance or perseverance, the margin says here in my Bible. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, or the Greek word means mature, that you may be mature. And again, in the New King James Bible, in the margin, that's exactly the word they have as the alternate translation. That you may be mature. Trials help you to mature and grow up and to become complete, to grow spiritually, lacking nothing spiritually. See, it is through, God says, it is through the trials and tests that He allows us to have, that maybe we even just brought into the church with us because God knew exactly our backgrounds and every problem when He called us. He knew it all. It wasn't a mystery to God. Oh, I didn't know you had that problem. I shouldn't have called you in this life. I should have waited till the second resurrection. I made a mistake. Go back and be uncalled. No, God doesn't make mistakes like that, does He? No, He really doesn't. You know, He thought it out. I know you, and I know your background and your heritage, your weaknesses and your strengths. I know your present problems. And I'm going to call you into My church now in this life because I want you in the first resurrection to rule with Christ and to help others. Notice down in verse 12 what it says. It says, blessed is the man, and here it just means Christian person, doesn't mean a male, just a man physically, but blessed is that Christian, that person, who endures temptation. For when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. So, joy, true joy, kara, the Greek word, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, comes from knowing what God is accomplishing in our lives through our trials and problems and difficulties. Let's look at a few other scriptures along this line. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 6 through 9. Says this, 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, and that little while means while we're in the flesh on this earth, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So, yes, God understands that our trials can be grievous. They're distressful. They're stressful. But it goes on to say that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation that is the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now notice verses 8 and 9. Whom, having not seen, you love. Here's that thing of loving God again, even though we haven't seen Him. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and glorious. But what it means, the way the NIV and other translations put it, that we can rejoice with joy inexpressible and glorious, receiving the end result that it's talking about here, of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So what Peter is expressing here, isn't it, brethren, that no matter what God allows us to go through, it is believing and knowing, and I have no doubts about that, I hope you don't, that God knew exactly what He was doing when He decided to call me. When He decided to call me, and calling just means opening my mind to believe the Bible as the Word of God, and to prove the truth for myself from the Bible, and to follow that and to believe that. And that every trial and problem and test along the way that He allows into my life is for my good. And joy. And Peter says that we can rejoice with joy inexpressible. You know, this is why so many of the people of God down through the ages and recorded in Scripture, when they were being stoned to death, beaten, killed, tortured, would praise God. I mean, you know, God is not going to give us any trial greater than we can bear. That's a promise. But you just read that, don't you? That many times when they were in prison, they would just sing praises to God. So whatever your situation, God will give you strength. And there can be that inner joy, just reminding yourself, God loves me. God is with me. God will help me. Thank you, God, for loving me and being with me. And then one final scripture on this particular point of understanding the purpose of our trials. There's a good one in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It takes great vision on our part, each of us, to believe that God has picked us, handpicked us, and is training us for service and leadership in His church and in His kingdom. And that He hasn't called us to just be nothing and do nothing, but He can take each one of us and use us to do good and to help others. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it gives this advice: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and notice this, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, the horrible pain of that punishment, that death, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. And it goes on to say, consider Him who endured that. So part of the reason then we have joy, isn't it, brethren, in this life, is we know what lies ahead. We know the end result. We know that God's kingdom is coming. The new world is going to be here, and thank God is going to solve all the problems, that joy that lies ahead, and that we have a hand in that. So it's very important for you, if you're going to be able to be happy and to have the true joy, not the happiness of the world that just depends upon every need being taken care of and every problem being solved, the circumstances of your life. If your happiness or your joy depends upon that, we'll never be happy, will we? Because there will always be another problem and another trial or another job loss or another relationship failure or something in our lives. But understand the purpose of your trials and that God is working with you and shaping and molding you and trying to teach you and reach you and help you and love you. And He will never stop doing that ever. He'll never give up on us. And the last concept that I want to give you in closing, one of these things of how do we have joy? By learning to serve and help others. I'd like to close with that one. One of the living laws of God. Turn with me to Acts 20, verse 35. It's the last scripture that I will use. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts 20:35 says this: I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is a living law. Now, it doesn't say that it's wrong to receive, does it? It just says it is more blessed. And again, the Greek means there's joy, there's happiness. And in the Amplified Bible, once again, it actually translates it. It makes one happier to give than to receive. And it's good to be a receiver, give others the opportunity to give, and we all love to receive gifts and blessings, don't we? It can make us happy. But God's Word and God's law says it is more blessed. It makes one happier. It brings true joy to be a giver. Have you ever met a taker? Have you ever known people, been close to people who are not givers? They're the people who suck you dry emotionally, spiritually, physically. They're takers. They're not givers. They're not givers of love. They're selfish. And we've all known people like that. God's way is the way of love, the living law, giving and serving and being outgoing and thinking of others, helping others, praying for others is a law that produces joy. There is a joy. And sometimes even doing it quietly. You know, I mean, obviously there has to be public service as well, doing good in those ways, like here at church and all, but also, as you know, the joy of giving and serving and praying for and helping other people. You will be blessed for it mightily, brethren. So during this present time, you know, as we go through another Christmas season, we of course don't observe Christmas. We know the origins of it. But as we're hearing the music and going through this holiday season, I would just like you to be thinking about what is true joy. What is the source of this true joy? And remember the revelation of God and these points, these keys that I've given you today, where true joy comes from. True joy is a gift that God will give us if we obey Him and if we apply these biblical principles in our lives. Now, God wants us to be happy Christians, filled with joy. And I'd like to close with these words of Jesus Christ. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.